Well, no, Chafaleth.
Chafaleth. Chafaleth.
Yes, Chafaleth, 21.
21.
Okay, so we just said that everything's mafsik for his rhyme. All the things mentioned in the first mission of the parak are mafsik, but by trees it requires a mechitza. And then it says im haya sar kotesh eino mafsik elanosim pelakol. If you had the sar kotesh, so the question is what does that mean? Ma kotesh. What does that mean? We're going to just use the English side. I've discovered that the Hebrew on the Hebrew side and the Hebrew on the English side don't necessarily match, and they take care of the gesoros more readily on the English side, and that's why I've been finding myself getting confused because of that. So I'm just going to use the English side. Never thought I'd hear myself say that, but that's what I'm going to do. I was discussing it with Mayor Pasternak tonight, and he explained to me that the two groups, the Hebrew side and the English side, do not necessarily communicate, so... It's interesting. Okay, so what's meant by kotesh? Ali b'maktesh, like a pestle against a mortar. Now, why they use this mashal is beyond me. This mashal, no matter how you learn the pshat over here, there's apparently multiple pshatim. There's the Rashi's pshat that it's referring to the wall being dilapidated, a little bit dirt at the top of the wall. Maybe it's falling apart. So I don't know what that has to do with a pestle and a mortar. And the other pshat, which is more the Gra's pshat, is we're talking about whether the branches are touching the top of the wall, or are they over the top of the wall without touching the wall. So I guess, let's suppose that that's the pshat, that the two tzadim are whether the top of the branches that are going over the wall between the two trees, if they're touching the top of the wall, so that contact would be like, I guess, a little bit, like the pestle and the mortar, where the pestle is touching the mortar as it grinds up the medication. But why they had to use that mushroom is beyond me. I don't know. Anyway, so that's the question. My kotesh kali bech machtesh, is it like pestle against the mortar? Or kotesh al gabe goner, or does it mean they knock against each other above the fence without actually touching the fence? That seems to be the shaila. Min masay ar kotesh, since the Mishnah says knocking branches, ein ha goder kotesh, and it doesn't say anything about a goder. In other words, if there would have been a necessity for it to touch the wall, it should have mentioned the wall when it made up this terminology of kotesh. Since it doesn't mention the wall at all, it just says se'ar. So therefore, hado amra kotesh al gabe goder. So therefore, it means, even if they're touching each other above the wall, that's it. Rabbana Amar, Zimnin Dahava Babatak Dal Ramas, Vizimnin Dahava Batak Hasar Tvachim, and it should say again, Vizimnin, Vitua Mata Esser Labeso. I don't know why the third time it doesn't say Vizimnin, I'm not sure about that. But anyway, he seemed to have said these three statements at various times, which either he said that they're within four amas, or he said they're within 10 tefachim, and then other times it would be that there are no density of 10 to a base saw. 10 to a base saw means you've got 50 by 50, that's 2,500 square saw, I believe, right? 50 by 50, yeah, 50 by 50 amas is the shear, and if you spread out 10 trees in that amount of space, that's like the maximum that you're going to put it in order for them to have the proper nourishment. So that it'll come out, you end up having about 18 amas between each tree. Each tree would be in the center of a circle, which would be 9.5 amas to each side of the circle. So two trees with two circles, 9.5 amas to the outside of the circle, to the circumference, right? From the center of the circle to the circumference of each one would be 9.5, 9 amas. It's about 18 amas between the actual trees themselves. So that's the shear that the trees are at. What's that important? It's not clear yet. We're going to see soon. Now we're going to explain what these three conditions, why would Mach Mamina, what, how do you understand these statements that he said? Hu shi hu b'tok dal amas l'gader. The first statement that the trees have to be within 4 amas of the fence, that means that the trees have to be within 4 amas. right? In other words, if you have trees which are 6 amas away from, are this from each other or from the fence?
From the fence.
Just 1 second. Trees. Yeah, if the gap between either the tree and the fence is great, between either tree and the fence is greater than 4 amas, then even if the branches are intertwined, the fence will divide them. Okay, so that's the first statement, right? Got that one? Make sense? Guys? Yeah? Does that make sense? Again, we're saying that if the trees have branches, we have two trees on two sides of a fence, and normally the fence will be a divider, and you'll have to get paying from each tree independently, but if the branches of the tree over the top of the fence are intertwined, we're saying then it's like we ignore the fence because they're so connected. You only have to give one payer for one tree, and that could be moichi the other tree as well, right? So that's only true if the trunk of the tree on either side of the wall is within dalan amas of the wall. But if within dalan, but if they're outside of dalan amas, they're too far away from the wall, so that even if their branches are touching each other above the wall, it would not satisfy the requirement. You'd have to give independent payos. That's the first statement.
And this fence is 10 tefachim high?
This fence we're talking about is 10 tefachim high, yeah. Now we're on chafalvam base. Vehein shehu b'tach hasar tefachim. And they are within 10 tefachim. That means what? That means beinof lenof. It means the branches are within 10 tefachim of each other. So what does that mean? So the branches of the tree on one side of the fence must be within 10 tefachim of the branches of the tree on the other side. So in other words, this sounds like the branches above the wall don't necessarily have to actually be interlocking with each other. Now we're saying as long as they're within 10 tefachim of each other, that's good enough. So he says over here.
But does the tree have to be within 4
tefachim? Hold on 1 second. That only a few of the branches have to interlock. The rest need only be within 10 tefachim. In other words, you have to have some interlocking, and some could be separate. But the ones that are separate have to be within 10 tefachim of each other. This is all very mysterious, because if they're interlocking, who's to measure a tree? You know, like, what if we go up there with a ruler and see how many branches are... I don't know. It sounds a little strange to me. Oh, boy. David Lowenberg wants to know what the password is. Hold on 1 second, please. So that's the strange thing about this. There's going to be branches that are not even close. Every tree has branches which are near the trunk, which don't even go up. So this whole thing is like so strange. So I'm just guessing what it means is that there are some, the branches that don't go above the wall don't play a role altogether. We don't take those into account. You have some branches that are going to grow up above the wall. Now, if none of those branches touch each other, then all bets are off. Some of the branches have to touch each other. Now that we have some branches touching each other, we can call it Sar Kotesh. But conditionally, that if the other branches that are not touching each other are within 10 tefachim. It makes absolutely... This is so arbitrary, this makes no sense whatsoever. I'm finding this very hard to believe this is actually what this means, but this is what they're telling me over here.
All the branches are not going to even be going in that direction. There's going to be branches that...
Exactly.
Talking about that,
it's a sheer of what on top of the wall is going on. It's really strange. Anyway, okay. Benetua mata esalabe saw. The third statement means that it's a density of 10 to a base saw. So what that means is, this is really strange. So now, it sounds like they're talking about how densely the trees have to be planted in the field. Now, why would that make any difference at all, since we're not focused on the rest of the trees in the field? We're focused on two trees that are next to a wall, and is the wall going to go ahead and separate them? And that's what we're talking about over here. So we have two trees. We're not interested in all the other, you know, let's say there are 10 trees in the orchard. So we're not interested in those other 9 trees. We're interested in the 10th tree, which is next to the wall. Is it creating a sour cotation or not? So Reb Chaim says, in Echonami, we're only really focused on those two trees. And when it says they're planted in this way, it means that the two trees, if they're so far apart from each other, that is to say they're 18 amos away from each other, or greater than 18 amos away from each other, even so, which would be the case, they say, for example, you have a very, very wide wall. You have the Great Wall of China. Okay, this is a huge wall. And the two trees are, even though they're within Dalat Amis of the wall, but the fact is the two trees, if you add the measure of the wall together with whatever Amis they are away from the wall, you end up with over 18 Amis, then all bets are off. That's what he says of Shadis. So, in other words, even if it's Sar Kotesh, the way we're defining it, that's also no good. Okay? So this is one of these strange, arbitrary things. I don't understand it. All I can say is, in any mevin, and that's it.
Where do we get the concept of these 18 amos from? I mean, what's the makor?
That is a standard makor for planting. We see that a lot of times. I'll tell you where it comes up. In Moed Katan, in the beginning of Moed Katan, I don't know if you remember, where it talks about Allah Moshe Mishinai by that you can go ahead and you can irrigate, you can work the field all the way up to within 30 days of the Shemitah, remember? Because otherwise it's not healthy. And by young trees, it says you plant them 10 to a base. So I think over there, and I think it may come up and climb also. All right. Now, yeah.
4 amos away, that's
why. I beg your pardon?
Usually by climb, it's 4 amos away.
Yeah, yeah. This is, we're talking about the definition of an orchard. Okay.
Right.
The Mishnah said Rabbi Gamliel's father would give a separate payer for the olive trees that he had in each direction. So that means each on the compass would be a tree in the east, tree in the west, so on and so forth. So the Gemara asks, Mimachavin lahena saruchos. So what decides which way is east? And who decides which way is west? So it seems to me the Gemara had a little difficulty. The Gemara wanted to know, does it mean the directions of the world? The Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean the directions of the world. It means, Chayir mechavenes lahena saruchos. So in other words, what the Gemara was saying was like this. Let's take a realistic view of a city, of an orchard that's outside the outskirts of a city. So a city is built, you know, east is what that direction, right? So you're gonna, it's like an angle, right? So you're gonna have trees along the eastern side of the city, but it's not perfectly east. The city would. Let's assume the city is a square, which is hard to believe, but let's suppose the city is a square. We draw a square around the city, and then you have an orchard which is along the lines of the square of the city. That square could be in any direction. It could be northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest. It's not necessarily northeast, west, and so on. So the Gemara says that that's not how you decide it. How Ir Mechavenes Lahena Saruchos. So the city decides it's along one border of the city, along the other border of the city. Whatever the four borders of the city are, that's what we're talking about. What's going on, Ovi?
Before, it would be less. I mean,
Yeah, and that's what they say. They said, since a separate pay is given for each side of the town, footnote 5, it says the number of payers will not always be 4. But will depend on the shape of the town. If a town is triangular, then 3 payos would suffice. What's that from the Gaon? Now, it says over here, also olive trees on one side of a town, even if they're separated by a fence, and are not within view of each other, require only one payah. Okay, so that's a huge kiddush over here. So we have all these olive trees on one side of the town are all considered one unit, and it doesn't matter that, you know, nothing's going to separate them.
So nope. a fence doesn't separate, nothing separates each other,
as you can see.
Long as they, well, it says over here, and they're not within view of each other, it says over here by the olive trees. The rush. Conversely, olive trees on two sides of a town, even if not separated by a wall, even if within view of each other, are obligated in two separate payas. Right? So on the other hand, if you have two olive trees that are on a corner, right, on the corner of the angle, right? So they see each other, and there's no, but they're going to still need two payos because the directions of the olive trees are what's important. So you have a chumrah and a kula, right? You have the chumrah that even if they see each other, they still chayav in two payos, and the kula that even if they don't see each other, but they're on the same direction, that they only need one payah. Now we're going to say what the reason is, and we said this already once before, but it's actually the Yerushalmi says it explicitly. So let's see over here. I'm Rabbi Yosef Rabbein Shal Beis Rabbi. How you learn Arba Badim La Arba Ruchos Seir. So what they had was they had four oil presses, on the four direct sides of the town. So that's what determined. That's what's giving these sides of the city a shame. It's kind of the ma'ahed of all these trees is the Beis Abad. The fact that they're being pressed. Ultimately, you're going to harvest all the olives and bring them to that press. And apparently, they have these presses, one on each side of the city. So therefore, they all become one.
Each press gets its own field with the payah.
Each press grabs the whole side of the city.
And that side needs to pay one payah.
One payah. And that's it. Unbelievable. Okay. Hayusham Shalosh Ilanis. If there were three rows of trees, okay, so now, Rishonim Horeines Ha'im Tzayim. Did I say 21b? Yeah, we're on 21b. Yeah. I keep forgetting to say that. If the first one sees the middle ones, so the outer trees see the middle trees, Ha'im Tzayim Horeines Ha'ishonim, the middle trees see the outer ones, but Ein Ha'ishonim Ro'en Zezeh, but the two outer lines of trees don't see each other. They're blocked by the middle row, right? So it says very simple. Ma'afreshman harashim mahoyim tsayim. You take from the outer row on the inner row. Omen hoyim tsayim al harashim. Or you could take from the middle row for both the outer rows, because after all, the middle row sees both outer rows. They know ma'afreshman harashim al harashim, but you can't take from the outer rows on each other. Because since the outer rows don't see each other, so they're being blocked, right? So therefore, they can't. Can't be mafresh payah from one of the outer rows on the other outer row.
So you end up giving two payah?
Yeah, so you'd have
a middle one and an end.
You could either have. I mean, I guess you have your choice. You could do three. You could do one each row, or you could take from the middle only one, and that would be your motzi both outer rows. Or you could do two. You could do an outer row for itself, and the middle row for itself, and the other outer row. Various, you know, opportunities here to be creative. Okay, now up to halacha 4. Hazarea sadeo min echad. If you plant with one species, right? So the farmer goes ahead and he has a whole farm full of wheat, a whole field full of wheat, right? And the farmer decides, you know what? I want to split up the work. I'll harvest the first half of the field today, and I'll work it through. I'll go through all the winnowing and put it in the granary and everything, and do the meruach. I'll do everything on the first half. And then next week, I'll do the second half of the field. So what's the rule? Do you say that since I did two goren, so to speak, so I'm chayav in two separate payas? Or do you say I can do one payah for everything? So that's the Mishnah tells me. Even though you divide it into two separate threshings, doesn't make a difference. No same payah achas. You give one payah on everything. Because the pshat is, since it's all one min, and you're, and it's all one basic crop, so it doesn't matter that you split it up. Zorah shnei minim, but if you planted two different crops, wheat and barley, for instance, right? Then, even though you're harvesting both the wheat and the barley together, you have to give you have to give two separate payos. Now we have this, the third case, right? So the third case is you have two types of wheat. So you can have light wheat and dark wheat, red wheat,
whole wheat.
Different kinds of wheat, or shredded wheat.
Buckwheat.
Okay. I don't know about the buckwheat. So if you have two types of wheat, osangaranachas, if you thresh them all together, you give one peya. Shtei granos, but if you make it two separate threshings, then nosen shtei peyos. There, your kavana will make a difference, because the fact that...
Shouldn't it depend on the nature of the item itself, and not the fact that you just decide? I mean, you could do this in five different threshings too.
Well, we said within one min, doing five right. different threshings will not impact it. The fact that these are the same generic min of wheat,
mm-hmm.
but they are separate types of wheat, that makes it so that if you do it independently, since it looks like, this is a din d'rabbanan, obviously, since it looks like it's a separate min, so therefore
right.
we'll give it twice. Right.
So it's the when you say it's a different type, it's a color issue. What defines it? Just with lashon b'nei adam, is that what this is?
Two types of wheat.
I'm just trying to get clarity.
Two types of wheat. He gives examples at the top here: white wheat and brown wheat. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Colors, I understand. I'm just wondering, is there further clarification of this?
Yeah, I mean, that's as far as I got from this. I don't know if there's more that's necessary for now.
I mean, we know there's such a thing as an early season and a late season. But
that's not what we're talking about over here. Yeah.
Okay.
If you were to, first of all, I don't think it's possible for us to talk about early, late season, because the early season, you've harvested already by the time the late season comes. So you're not going to have this conflict. Early, late, for sure, will be two separates. Okay. Ma'aseh shazara Reb Shimon ben Ish HaMitzvah l'fnei Reb Gamliel. So there's a story over here with Reb Shimon planting the two varieties of wheat in front of Reb Gamliel, and then they go. He didn't know, I guess. Reb Gamliel didn't know what to do with it. So all lishkas hagazas, they go to the Beis Hamikdash where you have the Sanhedrin of Shim ve'Echad, and you ask them over there, Shalu. And Omar Nachum Halevlar, so Nachum the scribe said, I have a Kabbalah from Yosha, Shekibu Me'aba, I hear it from my father. It's not clear exactly what my father means over here. It could be it's the father of Nachum the scribe. Others say it's maybe Rabbi Yosha's father. Not clear exactly who the father is. Shekibu Minhag Zugos, he heard from the parents. As you remember, Chananim Avtalian, Shem Ovashamai, the different Zugos that I mentioned in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Shekilim and Hanaviim, Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. They heard, so that we're getting this mamash straight from Har Sinai. This is like unbelievable. This is tonight we're connecting with Har Sinai for this Shaila. I'm this ball from this. This is the Shaila that connects that we're going to connect with learning Torah. With Har Sinai going all the way back, Halakha Shemini Sinai, that Bezreya Sadeu Shnei Mini Chitim, Im Asim Garan Achas, Oisim Peo Achas, Shnei Granus, Oisim Shnei Peos, that they had this Kabbalah, Halakha Shemini Sinai, that this is the way it is. It depends on how many harvests you do. Isn't that amazing? This is what we had to go back to Har Sinai for. It's amazing. Anyway, so we'll stop. This is the end of the tonight's thing.